Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on PM's 79th Independence Day address, Roadmap for a Strong and Inclusive Economy. The participants are Shishir Sinha, Economic Analyst, and Sarabjit Kaur, Anchor.
Good evening, listeners. Just 2 days ago, we celebrated the country's 79th Independence Day, that is on 15th of August. On this commemorative day, Prime Minister Narendra Modi addressed the nation from the ramparts of the Red Fort. The address by the Honorable Prime Minister was a decisive address charting a bold roadmap for a Vikasit Bharat by 2047. Prime Minister's address focused on a variety of things like self-reliance, innovation, citizen empowerment, highlighting India's journey from a nation dependent on others to a globally confident, technologically advanced and economically resilient country. To give us a better understanding of these concepts, we are fortunate enough today to be joined in the studios by Mr. Shishir Sinha, Economic Analyst. Mr. Sinha, welcome to the studios of Akashvani.
Thank you.
Mr. Sinha, before we take this discussion further, let's hear the Honorable Prime Minister on a variety of things that he said. To begin with, let's hear the Prime Minister on the GST reforms.
पिछले 8 साल से हमने जीएसटी का बहुत बड़ा रिफॉर्म किया और समय की मांग है कि हम एक बार उसको रिव्यू करें। हमने एक हाई पावर कमेटी को बिठा करके रिव्यू शुरू किया, राज्यों से भी विचार विमर्श किया। हम नेक्स्ट जनरेशन जीएसटी रिफॉर्म्स लेकर के आ रहे हैं, ये दिवाली के अंदर आपके लिए तोहफा बन जाएंगे। सामान्य मानवीय की जरूरतों के टैक्स भारी मात्रा में कम कर दिए जाएंगे।
Mr. Sinha, the Prime Minister spoke about the proposed GST reforms. Now, I have two questions on this. The first one being that how do they aim to reduce the tax burden, especially on the middle class? And how will these reforms contribute to ease of doing business in India?
Let me take you back to 2017 May, when GST rates were finalized. And at that time, around more than 1,200 goods and services which are in the positive list, they were put under GST and rates were decided. And basically, there are four basic rates, 5, 12, 18 and 28. And there are three special rates, which is for diamond, for gold, for silver, which is 0, 0.25 and 3%. And then we have compensation cess, basically on some of the goods like automobile and tobacco, where the cess is levied over and above 28% of GST. This is the present structure of GST, which was decided way back in 2017 May, just before the introduction of GST. After that, there were two or three rounds of big changes in the GST rates, but the number of rates were not reduced. There was a complaint that when the revenue is going up, the time has come to go for a massive restructuring. And now the center has submitted a proposal to group of ministers saying that there should be just two rates, that is 5% and 18%. That means all the goods which are in, say, 12%, goods like, say, ghee, butter, jam, jelly, they are under the 12% bracket. Now they will be part of the 5% bracket. 5% is mainly for the essential items and the goods which are required for our day-to-day life. This will be one category. The second category will be 18%. 18% is basically for those goods which are required for fulfilling the aspiration of new middle class as well as the middle class, like small cars or medium-sized cars, some of the electronic items like, say, air conditioner or big television sets. These are the aspirational goods. So you can live without them, but you need to fulfill your aspiration by buying these things. So those goods will be under 18% slab. Then there will be a special category of 40%. 40, and that is basically for 5 to 7 goods. In economics, we use the term sin goods. Like for tobacco, we use the word sin goods. So I'm not going to use the word sin goods. I will use the word demerit goods. So for demerit good, those 7 demerit goods like cigarette, pan masala, gutka, high-end luxury cars, and aerated beverage, these are likely to be placed under 40%. So this is the structure which the center has proposed to the group of ministers. When the group of ministers will finalize, and then it will give the recommendation to the Fitment Committee, and then the Fitment Committee will present the final recommendations for the GST Council, and then the GST Council will take a call. This is thinking about the rates. When you are reducing the number of slab and when you are bringing the day-to-day items from higher rate to lower rate, automatically the prices will. This is how the center is proposing to give relief to the common man as well as the middle class. So this is answer to your first question. Now coming to your second question, which is about the ease of doing business. So entire this reform GST 2.0 is based on three pillars. One is of course the rate rationalization we have just discussed. The second one is about the structural changes, and the third one is about the ease of living. When we are talking about the structural changes, that means how you can provide, say, classification issue. This is a very, very big problem with the classification of goods. I can give you one example about the papad. What kind of shape it should be? Rather it should be a round one, or rather it should be a triangle one. I mean, the matter went to court and the court took a call. No, only with the round one will be called papad and they will attract no GST. So this kind of classification issue needs to be resolved. So that is the second part, which is the structural reforms. Under the structural reform, the two other things are also there, which is called return as well as the refund. So filing return, how to make it easy for you, getting the refund, especially for the exporter, how to make easy for it. These are part of the structural reform. Now coming to the ease of living. Ease of, under ease of living, the effort is to make the registration process simpler. Suppose that you are a GST SSC or you want to start your business and you want to get registration under GST. How much time should be there? I mean, within say a day, within 2 days. And effort is that the 95% of new SSC should get the registration within 3 days. So this is the ease of living.
Mr. Sinha, still on the topic of taxations and reforms, Prime Minister Narendra Modi in his speech also mentioned about income tax reforms and faceless assessment. How has the introduction of faceless assessment changed the experience of taxpayers in India? And do you think faceless assessment simplifies compliance for common citizens?
You and me both are the taxpayers, and going to income tax department, say 7 years back, 5 years back, was really something which we were not very comfortable.
Correct.
Now the government has given a system which is called the faceless assessment. That means we do not know who is person sitting just behind that computer screen and assessing my income and the expenditure. So going to income tax department and going to that particular office, that fear has come down because you are having a complete online system, which is a complete transparent system. And even the income tax officer is not knowing that which assessee before me or which assessee for him or her I am going through the assessment process. So faceless assessment has really made a good change, and it has also improved the compliance. Just see the people who are filing income tax return. Sometimes back it was used to be 1.5 crore, 2 crore. Now we are talking about 10 crore people are filing income tax return. Of course, if you consider the population of our country, which is now we are talking about 150 crore people, out of 150 crore, if just 10 crore people are filing income tax return, that number may be small. But coming from 1.5 crore to 10 crore is something which we have to keep in mind, and that is one region which has boosted this as a faceless assessment. And also the tax collection has also gone up. Both houses of parliament have approved a bill which is called Income Tax Bill, and that is going to be in effect from April 1, 2026. And that bill will replace a legislation which is more than 6 decades old.
Addressing the nation, the Prime Minister also deliberated upon a task force for economic reforms. Let's hear what the Prime Minister said on this.
Next generation reforms ke liye hamein ek task force gathit karne ka nirnay kiya. Ye task force samay sima mein is kaam ko pura kare. Vartaman niyam, kanun, nitiyan, reetiyan वैश्विक वातावरण में अनुकूल और भारत को 2047 में विकसित राष्ट्र बनाने के संदर्भ में नए सिरे से तैयार हो.
Jasina, as is always said, any reform is fruitful when implemented in a time-bound manner. So what's the role and dimension of this task force which the Prime Minister mentioned?
I would like to add 2-3 lines to what you said, that it is fruitful when it is implemented in a very effective manner. So policy cannot be made just by a small group of people. You need more and more ideas so that it is more inclusive and more substantive one. And that is why it is better to have a task force, group of experts who are going to give you advice on the blueprint of the reform. Now, considering the 3 immediate target we have, first, $5 trillion by 2027. Then we have the $7 trillion by 2030. And then we have the $10 trillion by 2033. And then, of course, ultimate aim is to achieve the developed nation status by 2047. So these are the 4 targets. Now, achieving those 4 targets, you need first continuation of policy. Number 2, more and more innovation of the policy. And number 3, the policy should be according to the present requirement. and it should be more and more flexible. So all those things will be possible when you have the next generation reform. Reforms we have seen in 1991, reforms we have seen in 1997, we have seen reforms in 2004, we have seen in 2008. Every time we have seen reform, now those reforms need much bigger framework. And to design those framework, that task force has been constituted. And I'm sure that within a year or so, we will see some good recommendation from the task force.
Well, along with other factors, youth is a very important pillar in the growth of any economy. And Prime Minister spoke about the PM Vikasit Bharat Rozgar Yojana in his Independence Day speech. Let's hear what the Prime Minister had to say.
Pradhan Mantri Vikasit Bharat Rozgar Yojana आज ही 15 अगस्त को लागू हो रही है। इस योजना के तहत निजी क्षेत्र में पहली नौकरी पाने वाले नौजवान को बेटे बेटी को 15,000 रुपया सरकार की तरफ से दिए जाएंगे। कंपनियों को भी नए रोजगार देने के अवसर जो भी ज्यादा जुटाएगा उनको भी प्रोत्साहन राशि दी जाएगी।
So, Mr. Sinha, this scheme gives incentive both to the job seekers and the job givers. Now, how do you align this scheme with the Vikasit Bharat 2047 vision?
There are two aspects. One, when we talk about giving job and giving job in the private sector, that is a very important line. Because whenever we talk about job or the salaried thing, we always think about that it is a government job. To encourage people to go to the private sector to get a job there, and then the government is also going to give you some incentive. That is very important considering we have demographic dividend. When we are talking about 65% of population is below the age of 35 years. So we need to provide this kind of mechanism where for a youth, the job should not just mean the government job, but it should also expand the horizon of that job, which is the private jobs also. This is one aspect. The second aspect is that if you can remember just few days back, Cabinet approved a scheme which is called Employment Linked Incentive Scheme, which is called ELI. And that was basically to provide some kind of incentive to the companies who are going to provide job. We always complain that private sector is not expanding, private sector is not making investment. When you are giving this kind of incentive that, okay, you employ these many people, we are going to give you this kind of money, and we are also going to give money to the person who is getting the job, then the private sector will also be encouraged to make a fresh investment, to expand the business, and then it could lead to what we call as a virtuous cycle, that is a more positive to come out. So the overall, this Pradhan Mantri Viksit Bharat Rozgar Yojana has two aspects, one for the job seekers and other for the job provider.
Touching upon a variety of horizons, the Prime Minister also spoke about self-reliance of the country in critical minerals. Let's hear what the Prime Minister had to say on this.
आज क्रिटिकल मिनरल्स की टेक्नोलॉजी के अंदर बहुत अहम भूमिका है और इसलिए नेशनल क्रिटिकल मिशन हमने लॉन्च किया है। 1200 से अधिक स्थानों पर खोज का अभियान चल रहा है और हम क्रिटिकल मिनरल में भी आत्मनिर्भर बनने की दिशा में आगे बढ़ रहे हैं।
Mr. Sinha, in your expert view, how is this reliance in self-reliance rather in critical minerals contribute to the growth of the country?
We need to increase the share of manufacturing in gross domestic product, and to expand that manufacturing thing, you need a good amount of critical mineral. One example I would give here, that is the which is called as a rare earth magnet, which is very critical for, say, industry like automobile, which contributes almost 40% in our overall tax collection. So to provide a boost to automobile industry, you need rare earth. We are totally dependent upon China and some other countries for the rare earth. Now, when China says that we are going to put some condition on that, that is going to impact our industry. So keeping these things in mind, we need to boost rare earth as well as other critical mineral also. And this will also help to give a kind of what we call as a diversification in the product of goods which we are exporting. At the same time, it is going to help the manufacturing sector.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi in the Independence Day speech touched upon many contours of Vikasit Bharat 2047, emphasizing India's growth on self-reliance, innovation and citizen empowerment. Mr. Shishir Sinha, thank you very much for sparing your valuable time to delve on this topic.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on PM's 79th Independence Day address, Roadmap for a Strong and Inclusive Economy. The participants were Shishir Sinha, Economic Analyst, and Sarabjit Kaur, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.